Let's go.
I'm Millie Rock on any block.
Let's go.
I'm Millie Rock on any block.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm Millie Rock on any block.
Yeah. I'm Millie Rock on any block.
Yeah. Man, what's going on, fam? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name, as you all know, is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, or Tariq King Flex Nasheed, or just King Flex, or just K-Flex, or just TN, And I'm ready to chop up some good game. Glad to have everybody loading and checking into the show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call up. I'm going to take some calls in a minute, but what I'm going to do first, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Are you a recording artist, a music producer, or an independent label? Then LegendaryMix.com is for you. LegendaryMix.com is the number one online music mixing and mastering service. With over 13 years of experience, their engineers have been behind some of your favorite hip-hop artists. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get your music to radio quality with quick delivery times. Go to LegendaryMix.com right now, or call or text 347-565-5892 or email legendarymix1 at gmail.com. Mention TariqRadio.com and get 20% off on your first order. Bae at First Swipe. That's a brand new web series about black millennials, young blacks dating in a digital age. This show follows Amara and her roommates as they navigate through dating, careers, and everything else in between using technology and dating apps. This show takes place in Washington, D.C., and it tries to answer the question, can you find real love through technology? Check out Bae at First Swipe at bayatfirstswipe.com. That's B-A-E at firstswipe.com.
Toledo, Ohio, and all surrounding areas. Toledo, Ohio, and all surrounding areas. Get ready. New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker Tariq Nasheed is coming to Toledo, Ohio for a live lecture called Break the Cycle. So join him on Saturday, November 14th at the historic Collingwood Arts Center. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. For tickets and info, go to www.tariqlive.com. For tickets and info, that's tariqlive.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget, man, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Hidden Colors 4 is on the way. That should be available in theaters. We're looking at February 2016. That's what we're going for. We're going for February 2016. So I keep you guys posted on that, because I know a lot of bookstores around the country, they're asking me questions like, when is the next Hidden Colors coming out? When is part four coming out? So a lot of people are flooding the bookstores asking when it's coming out. I promise you it's coming soon. We're looking at, again, February 2016. Hopefully, that's what we're going for. And don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear. I can't wait to go to Toledo, Ohio, by the way. This is my first lecture I'm going to be doing in Toledo, Ohio. And that's going to be on November 14th. So you guys don't want to miss that. Now, before I get into the game, well, let me get a call or two. Let me get a call before I get into the game, because a lot of folks are calling. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Man, what's going on, man?
Hello?
Who's it? Okay.
What's going on, King Flex? How you doing?
All right, brother. Y'all got to get y'all phone game together, man. Y'all fucking up the flow of the show when y'all be on these prepaid trap phones, man. What's going on? Who's this?
I'm sorry, King Flex. I didn't know you was going to pick up. Basically, I used to have a little relationship advice from you.
Go ahead, man. Online. Go ahead.
All right, so I got a couple females I'm dealing with right now, and I feel like every time I get a new chick on my line, it's always like a dead end. Like, I don't always have success with them, and I don't know why. I just want to see if you have some advice to give me as far as that.
Now, I got
to
know what direction is everything going. Like, you meet them, you go out with them, are you talking on the phone? How far are you getting with them?
I mean, like, basically, if I meet a girl, you know, like on the street, because I'm in school, I'm in college, and, you know, I meet this girl, so, you know, out and about. I give my company my number, you know. I'm not used to taking girls' numbers. I give my number, like, call me, give me a call, let's hang out. They never call. But when they see me, they tell me, oh, I'm busy, I got something to do. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, that's bullshit because you make time for other people. But, you know, this always happens to me. So I'm trying to figure out what can I do to change that dynamic.
Well, you got to close the deal and lock the deal in when you meet these women. See, y'all think just getting a number is... that's all you need to do. A lot of dudes think you're success just by getting the number. Getting the girl's number don't mean shit. It means absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, I stopped getting girls' numbers years ago. Because getting a number, a girl can just give you her number just to be kind of flipping about getting you away from it. They'll give you the real number, too. Sometimes they give you the number. Some girls just like to have niggas blowing their phones up so they can feel an ego rush. You dig? So
yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't call them. That's the thing. I tell them to call me, and they don't give me a phone call. And then when I see them in person again, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't call you. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm, you know.
Well, that's the thing. You always take responsibility for your macking or lack thereof. You always got to take responsibility. And I say you got to lock your ism down a little harder. You got to be more definitive about your game when you lock them down. If you holler at a female, man, you got to lock that ism in their brain. You got to give them a reason to call just other than I'm just some nigga you met on the street and here's my number. Women get that all the time. They get a million niggas trying to holler at them. What's going to make you stand out from all the other millions of niggas that try to holler? Always assume that they've heard it all. So what a lot of women don't hear is some real G shit, though. That's what they don't hear. That's the advantage that a real nigga will have. You dig? So if you say some real fly shit to her that's from the heart, that's genuine, they can fuck with that. Just be like, hey, look, listen, no, that's another thing. You got to listen. All right? You ready to interject? I'm trying to lace you with some of this ism. And also, you got to get your goddamn phone together, too. That's one thing. You got to get your shit together. Your phone ain't even together, nigga. You got a goddamn 2002 T-Mobile sidekick, nigga. You dig? But like I said, you got to lock that ism down. And you got to be very definitive. When you meet them, say, hey, look, I'm a little busy now, but I need you to call me at 8 o'clock tomorrow night because I got some real good stuff I want to talk to you about. You got to be bold with them a little bit so that you can lock that ism down in their brain to give them a reason to want to call you. And you got to be a boss about yours. And being a boss is all about your attitude and your demeanor. So you coming across as the thirsty dude. Like, how come you didn't call me when I gave you my number? You know, that's thirsty nigga shit. You dig? If they don't call
It's funny. It's funny you say that. I'm sorry. It's funny you say that because when I do that, you know, it kind of scares them away. When I say, yeah, call me at a certain time, boom, 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 they be like, why you want me to call you at that time? I'm like, because that's when I'm free.
That's how you got to be. You got to be like, look, call me at a specific time. They're qualifying you. And they say, why you want me to call you at that time? You got to let them know, look, I'm a boss. I got boss things to do. And at that time, I'll be available to deal with you. Not on your dime, not whenever you jump in. You let them know that you're a boss about yours. So you got better things to do than to sit around waiting on a phone call. So call me at this time when I got time for you. They can respect that. But always carry yourself like a boss. All right? Thanks for the call. Go down to the Apple store and get your phone together, player. Holla. All right. I'm going to do a new series. Just dropping game pretty soon. I'm going to let y'all know what's up with that. I'm trying to knock out these other projects, but I want to get back to the ism. I want to get back to the game. I'm going to do a series that I'm putting out. Y'all remember my Mac Lessons DVD. This is going to be an upgrade of that, just dropping hot game. Just dropping nothing but hot fire, breaking it down, and I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. But let me say this. This is... this is what I want the family to do. I need the family's help with something that we need to do as a melanoid community. Because today's show, I'm talking about defining yourself and not being defined by others. As melanoid people, and that's why we use the term melanoid, because we are defining ourselves. We're not allowing the WSs, and you know what they are, to define us. We're defining what we are and who we are. That's the first road to freedom. See, if people can name you, you ain't really free. But when you start defining yourself, that's a form of freedom. That's a form of creating your own code. Just like during slavery, you had maroon colonies in the Caribbean and in certain areas. They defined themselves and they created their own code and they got their freedom. But the thing is, you got to start defining yourself. And that's what we do with the Melanoid Nation. And globally, we talk about Pan-Africanism and reaching out, but we got to get real serious about reaching out globally to melanoid people around the world. That's why I'm so proud of the Hidden Colors series, because people all around the world rock with that. You know, it warms my heart when I see people in Asia rocking with it, when I see people all in the UK and Holland. We go to Holland and we're sold out lectures and people going to see the film and coming to see us when we go out there to speak. And some brothers from Africa, they were like in a little village, in a barbershop in a village in Africa, watching Hidden Colors in a small spot out there. I love that type of stuff. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So what I want to do, I want us to do something to help get that melanoid empowerment mindset going worldwide. On December 1st, what we should have, this is what we're going to have. We're going to do Melanoid Empowerment Day. Because a lot of people, we do a lot of stuff on social media. And social media, you can get a lot of messages out. And what we're going to have to start doing, family, we're going to have to start using social media for other stuff than just bullshitting, clowning, fucking around. All of that stuff is cool. But there's a time and place for everything, because people who dominate us, they use social media to empower themselves. They use it to maintain white supremacy. So we're going to have to counter that and use the same medium to create melanoid empowerment. These white supremacists are using all types of websites and apps to further subjugate us with white supremacy. So we gotta combat that with melanoid empowerment and getting the message of melanoid empowerment out, family. Now I'm looking at somebody in the chat room saying it was Players Day. It could still be Players Day, but we gotta look at the bigger picture. You gotta look at the bigger picture. December 1st is gonna be Melanoid Empowerment Day, too. You understand? There has to be in Brother Laila Africa, who's in Hidden Colors 4, he broke this down to me. Things have to be bipolar. This is the game that's being dropped in Hidden Colors 4. He broke this down to me, how black people, we're not taught to be bipolar. Bipolar is not a bad thing. Bipolar means just different spectrums of certain areas of activity. There's a good and a bad to everything. There's a positive and negative to everything. There's a left and right to everything. There's a feminine and a male to everything. So we're not taught that. People in the dominant society, they're taught that. See, we're taught, and this is what I'm going to get into in the show today, that murder is bad. Murder is not bad if you're doing it to protect yourself. See, we're taught all murder is bad. But people in the dominant society, they're told murder is bad if it happens to us, but it's cool when it happens to somebody else. So it's a bipolarness to it. So just like understanding certain things that we need to celebrate and recognize, we can recognize the ism and the player stuff, but we also need to recognize and celebrate our empowerment. So on December 1st, family, everybody, and we're going to spread the word worldwide, and I'm going to be in Africa at the time, too, because I'm going over there with this. I'm going to be in Africa at the time, and I'm going to be doing this over in Africa. So I want all melanoid people all around the world to use social media on December 1st to use the hashtag Melanoid Empowerment Day. Use that hashtag all day to get people to understand that we need to empower ourselves. And also what we need to do is take pictures that day of us holding the black fist with a dollar in our hand. Because, see, we talk about black pride and all this old stuff, but one thing we always leave out with some of these symbolic activism gestures is the importance of an economic base. So on Melanoid Empowerment Day, December 1st, take your photos with the black fist in the hand, but have a dollar in that hand. All around the world, we should have that money up, letting people know that this is where the power is going to come from. Our economy, our economic situation. Because we're taught everything except economic empowerment. See, we talk that boycott stuff. Boycotts don't mean nothing. Boycotts don't really mean anything. I'm talking about empowerment. Melanoid empowerment. Because if you got that dollar in your hand and you got the black fist up, and you got the words melanoid empowerment in your mouth and melanoid empowerment in your mind, automatically you're going to go spend that dollar with another melanoid person. That goes without saying. But we got to have the melanoid empowerment mindset, family. We got to have the mindset. I don't want to get into little gestures like, okay, just boycott this thing one day. We need to get into the whole mindset of melanoid empowerment, where subconsciously, we're going to go and spin our paper with other melanoid people. So we're going to spread the word on that. That's going to be December 1st. It's already the beginning of November, so we got a lot of time to really spread this out. Because I'm going over to Africa, and again, I'm seeing brothers and sisters over there going through the same thing. And we need to be linking up, and we always talk about linking up, but nobody ever takes that step. We're going to take that step now. We're taking that step now, and we're going to make a global movement out of it. Because again, I'm looking at the way these white supremacists are codifying their language and their actions. So we got to start countering that stuff, family. You dig? Let me get another call before I get into the game, because what I'm saying is tying into what we're going to talk about today. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, man? Tariq, this is Malik from D.C., man.
What's your name again, sir?
Malik from D.C.
Malik from D.C. How you doing, Malik? What's on your mind?
Man, a lot, brother. I've been meaning to get a hold of you for a minute, man, because I just want to first apologize for my punk-ass uncle selling your DVDs out there at the Million Man March.
Was that your uncle?
Yeah, man.
Where is he from?
He's from out there. And it was strange when I saw that, because I'm like, he did some crazy shit like that to my auntie. She was, the doctor thought she wasn't going to make it. So this motherfucker is going to go to the house and get all her jewelry and shit and start trying to pawn and shit, making money and shit. So he known for shit like that.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. All right. Well, you better holler at your kin folks, man. Anything else on your
mind? Yeah, one more question. He was, he used to pin peanut back in the day out there, brother.
Oh, okay. That's it? That's the best you came up with, nigga?
And them punk-ass boots you got out there, too, and them shirts.
Nigga, you done said the same lame shit, what, 3-4 weeks in a row?
Lame shit for her. Get out of here, you
Come
kid,
on,
nigga.
Dude. You gotta be more original, dude. At least be original with your trolling. This nigga calls up with the same... I know when he was talking about that's his uncle, I knew he was bullshitting, because that dude, from what I understand, is from Philly. So I'm like, okay, let me let this nigga go. This is... And that's another thing right there. This is why we got to get the melanoid empowerment mentality, so that we can get little bitch niggas out the mix. That right there, we got to start defining ourselves away from bitch niggas. That right there was a perfect example of why we need people who are about melanoid empowerment to start naming it, so we can start differentiating ourselves from little jive-ass bitch niggas. That's a number one part of the game. We got to start saying, okay, we ain't those niggas right there. I know all of us get, with you got melanin, you're going to be treated the same. But now we're going to have to get the mentality where, look, we're going to distance ourselves from bum-ass niggas. This is who we are, and this is what we're about. And then we're going to start gravitating towards like-minded people. That's the main reason right there why we need melanoid empowerment. Because white supremacy, right there, I'm not even mad at dude. That's white supremacy. That's what white supremacy creates. It creates little goofy bitch niggas. That's what white supremacy, you got to expect that. White supremacy creates goofy niggas. When you talk about some real shit, goofy niggas pop up. Just for the sake of being goofy. Being in the system of white supremacy, and Brother Neely Fuller talks about this, they create grown children. And that's what it is. It's all about creating grown-ass children who have not psychologically graduated to manhood because you're dominated. So you got to start breaking those chains mentally. And that, again, ties into today's show. Now, people in the chat room saying, oh, we shouldn't have people disrupt the show. That was good he called, because that ties in to what I'm saying, how your mentality is enslaved. And yeah, but somebody else said in the chat room, if you troll, and I respect a funny troll, if you troll, at least be funny. I love a good joke, but don't call up saying the same lame shit you've been saying for the last, 6 weeks. My God. But like I was saying, that ties into today's show. It's all about defining yourself. And that's what today's show is about. It's about defining yourself, because what happens is you have other people define you. And when other people define you, they can lock your mind and manipulate your mind into anything they want it to be. See, the thing is, Black people, we've been defined for the last 500 years. Other people, they've defined us. Now, every now and then, we'll rebel. Just like with hip-hop. The hip-hop, origins of hip-hop was about us rebelling against the system and defining ourselves. We said, okay, we're going to name ourselves this. Instead of Jimmy Smith, my name is going to be Cool J Smooth. We gave ourselves little names because we're trying to define ourselves. So we make these attempts to define ourselves. Even after the late 60s, early 70s, we started hearing what we call now ghetto names, like the Sharkeeshas and the Daquandas and all that. Those names came really after 1975, because these were Black people basically trying to make names initially that sounded like West African Swahili names. That's what they were trying to do at first. They were trying to redefine themselves by giving themselves non-European sounding names, but they didn't know Swahili. So they heard a couple of names with Ika or Iki in it, like Dashiki, whatever, and kind of name, my kid is going to be Kashiki. You dig? They started making up names like that, and then when their names became less African-centered, they started to try to make them sound like they were somewhat European around the 80s. This is when we started getting the Laquandas and this ghetto French shit that we hear now. You dig? So in the hip-hop game, like I said, we started to name ourselves street names, and we started to use slang. That was a way to try to define ourselves. But the thing is, with that, you come up with codes, but eventually with hip-hop, you start giving the codes up. You start letting people co-opt the codes. You start teaching people outside of the coded community, which was the hip-hop community. You just sold the codes to everybody the minute the outsiders came with money. You gave up all the trade secrets. So hip-hop is totally co-opted right now. So this is why I really push the melanoid empowerment, because that cannot be co-opted. you can't really co-opt it because it's too rigidly defined. Melanoid people are any people of immediate African descent who have been adversely affected by systematic white supremacy. That's what a melanoid person is. So you can't have the Rachel Dolezals popping up trying to claim melanoid. And I saw an interview with her talking about, well, she was born white, but she psychologically feels black and all that old bullshit. See, that's why melanoid is defined a certain way. People of African descent, of immediate African descent, because another thing they'll try to do, look at the words I'm using. People of immediate African descent, meaning people who are identifiably of African descent, not people who say, well, all people came from Africa, so I guess we're all from Africa. No. Immediate African descent, who have been adversely affected by white supremacy. Now, people like Rachel Dolezal, they can't say they've been adversely affected by it because you are in the dominant culture. So if you choose to act black, you can't say, oh, I've been affected. All you have to do is just not act black and you won't be affected. So you have an out. Real people who've been affected by systematic white supremacy, they don't have an out. So that's why I define the term so that they can't use the whole DNA argument when it's convenient for them. Because if you are identifiably a white person, you have not been adversely affected by systematic white supremacy. You haven't. If you're an identifiable white person. And again, you can get the melanoid flag at melanoidnation.org, by the way. Melanoidnation.org. But what I'm talking about today, I'm talking about defining yourself. And that brings me to talking about an episode of The Walking Dead. There was an episode of The Walking Dead that came on this past week. And I'm going to give a lot of spoilers. So if you have not saw this episode, you need to go see it and then come back and listen to the playback of this show. I know the show is live right now. If you're listening live right now and you don't want any spoilers, I would just wait until the playback of this show to continue to listen because I'm going to give a lot of spoilers. And go online and see if you can watch the latest episode somewhere online. It's a must-see to see this episode of The Walking Dead. It was a very deep episode in this season. Now, on this episode of The Walking Dead, most of the episode was about a black character named Morgan. A black man named Morgan. Now, throughout the whole series, the new season, the Morgan character, he's fighting zombies and, you know, there are other crazy groups of vigilantes called the Wolves. I think that's their name. And they're battling the main people. And other than zombies, the Morgan character throughout the season, he has this credo where he don't want to kill nobody. He's been running around with this moralistic thing like, oh, no, I can't kill nobody. Oh, we can take them down without killing them. His whole thing has been about not killing people, just neutralizing them without killing them. Whereas all the other main characters in Walking Dead, particularly the white ones, they kill, you know, whoever they need to kill to survive. So with the Morgan character, the writers of the show, they decided to do a whole show explaining how the character Morgan got to this zen-like moralistic view of killing. They did a whole show about him and how he got to that mindset. And this episode is so deep, I want everybody to watch it because this episode explains how black people globally became dominated and conquered by the white supremacists. That one episode will explain how and why. Because the thing is, see, with a lot of the domination of white supremacy has to do with the weapons. But really, at the end of the day, it's not about all the weapons. Psychologically, they got you. The weapons are there as backup. All right? The weapons are there as backup. But psychologically, they got you. That's how they got black folks and melanated people around the world. They got you psychologically, and the weapons were there just for backup for those who decide to wake up. Because every now and then, a group of us will wake up and say, hey, fuck this. They say, oop, we got to neutralize these niggas. Let's use those weapons. They keep the weapons close by. But in this show, they explain why the black man, Morgan, how he came to this nonviolent mentality. Now, at the beginning of the episode, they show him he's in isolation. They go back in time where he's in isolation. He's by himself. And he's killing everything that comes his way. He's killing zombies left and right. There were some white people following him. And he ended up killing two white people who were not zombies, which shocked me when I first saw this episode. Because if you look at The Walking Dead, they rarely, I haven't seen it at all, where a black character has killed a white character who wasn't a zombie. That's my first time seeing it. Now, if anybody can correct me, let me know. But that's the first time I saw a black character who wasn't a zombie kill a white character who wasn't a zombie. That's my first time seeing that. So I'm like, oh. And he killed him real brutally. He stuck like a stick through motherfucker's neck and choked somebody. So I'm like, okay, let me see where they're going with this. So he killed Morgan, the black guy, killed these two non-zombie white people. And the whole episode was basically reprimanding him for doing that. The whole episode was basically converting him so he wouldn't do that again. So now he kills these people and he's wandering around through the woods and he stumbles upon this white man's house. This white guy, he has a house in the woods, and I think Morgan tries to steal his goat or something like that, and then the white guy knocks Morgan out and then puts him in a cage. The white dude has a cage in his house that looks like a jail cell. I'm like, whoa, they are getting real blatant with the symbolisms here. So this white dude knocks the black guy out, puts him in a cage. So the black guy's sitting in a cage, which is a jail cell, basically. And the white guy who captured him is very cool. Like, hey, you know, I want you to calm down. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not trying to harm you. I just want you to calm down, get your mind together. And the Morgan guy's like, hey, when I get out of here, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the white guy's real cool. The white guy's playing the role of the missionary. The white guy's playing the role of the missionary. So he's basically trying to convert the black man, letting him know you don't have to be violent like that. And the white guy throws a book in the jail cell of this martial art called Aikido. What he was really doing symbolically was giving the black man a new religion. You got to see the symbols there. So he throws this book of a religion, which was basically disguised as a martial art, saying, hey, read this book. Because I practice this form of martial arts where I don't have to kill nobody. I can take them down. And I'm going to teach you, black man, where you don't have to kill nobody. Killing people is wrong. And Aikido teaches you that killing is wrong. And you don't kill nobody, even your worst enemy. This white guy is teaching the black guy this. The symbolisms are just all over the place. So the white guy says, okay, I'm going to let you out the cage. So now he let Morgan out the cage. And he let Morgan know that, hey, the cage wasn't even locked. You could have walked out any time. The cage wasn't locked. Which is another symbolism saying that, hey, niggas, we ain't really holding you down physically like you think. We got you psychologically, which is absolutely true. Some of these shows, man, the symbolisms, man, they get blatant and just tell you what the deal is straight up and down. Those are some powerful messages they were saying. They were saying, hey, look, nigga, we ain't really got you locked. You lock yourself down. You're just doing what we tell you to do. So Morgan gets out the jail cell. He pushes the door open and then he tries to attack the white guy. The white guy beats him up, neutralizes him. The black guy's yelling, oh, just kill me, just kill me. That's suicidal nigga shit, because a lot of black people are suicidal because you don't want to deal with the system of white supremacy. So you would rather get killed, but you can't kill yourself. And the white guy just neutralized him, let him up. And then the Morgan guy went back into the cage on his own and closed the door. He went back into the jail cell on his own, which shows the psychology of people. He went back in there, even though he knew that he was free, he didn't have to go back in there. He went back on his own. So anyway, now the white guy's teaching him this martial art, Aikido. He's teaching it to him. Morgan is becoming very thorough, so he's converting him. Now, Morgan, he's looking better, acting better, got his mind right. And the white guy tells him how he came to learn this martial art because there was some crazy killer in jail, because the white guy was some type of jail psychiatrist who did psychological evaluations on prisoners. And there was this one prisoner in jail who got out and killed the psychiatrist's family. He killed the man's family. And the guy was talking about, hey, you know, I built that jail cell in my home because I wanted to go get that guy. And I wanted to put him here and I wanted to just watch him starve to death. But then I read this book and learned Aikido, and I had to learn how to just calm and just not hate my enemies and all this old shit. So he's teaching the black man this. And the black man's buying it. The black man's like, okay, well, I ain't gonna kill nobody. I'm gonna learn how to control my anger. I'm gonna not kill my worst enemy. I ain't killing my enemies. He went into this whole thing and he took on this mentality. And him and the white guy, they're out and about, and then they get attacked by zombies. The white guy gets bit by a zombie, so he's about to die. The white guy's about to die now because the zombie bit him. And Morgan comes finding out, because they're about to bury the white guy. The white guy, they know he's about to die, so I think they're going to bury him or something like that. So Morgan, the black guy, goes in the back of the house and sees different graves with names on them. And then Morgan sees a grave with the name of this jail killer that the white guy told him about. And Morgan said, wait a minute, you did kill that guy. So this white guy told Morgan about don't be a killer and don't kill your enemy. And the white guy himself killed people. He went out and killed his enemy. But Morgan, the message that he was sending to Morgan was, hey, I'm flawed. But you, Morgan, black person, you're morally stronger than me. So don't be flawed like me by killing people when I know I'm not supposed to. You're morally better. So you go out there and you practice Aikido by the letter. You practice it in its purest sense. And that's what the Morgan character has been doing. Now, that's the exact thing they do with black folks. That's the exact same thing they do with black folks. They give us the whole moral responsibility. They say to us, look, black people, I know we beat your ass, beat your kids, lock you up, kill you, but don't you do that. Don't do that to us. Don't you do that. You're morally better than that. You're so much morally better than that. You're morally better than us. Now, we, white supremacists, we're going to keep all the wealth, resources, all the tangibles. We're going to keep it over here, but we're going to try to work on our morality. I know we're real bad on that, but you guys, you black folks, you go over there in the projects, in the shanty towns, in the tin houses, in squalor, with all your morals. Isn't that an even trade-off? You get all the morals and we get all the tangibles where we can survive and live comfortably. And I mean, these tangibles, I mean, we almost hate that we have them because you guys are so much better than us in poverty. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come over there and vacation in poverty with you. I'm going to come over there and slum with you. I go over there to your little shanty town. And I go over there to your African village. I go over there to your housing project and march with you. But at the end of the day, I'm going back over here to wealth and resources. And that mentality right there, them defining us as the moral barometers, as the good Christians, as the good Aikido practitioners, when they do not practice what they do or what they tell us, that's the reason why we have been conquered and decimated and destroyed for the last 500 years. We're letting people define us who don't even act and practice what they preach or define themselves as. That's why it's psychological. Whatever they do to you, at the end of the day, it's really psychological. Because you can have a lot of stuff. Black people can be given a lot of stuff. You can be given equal amount of weapons and the whole shebang. But what happens is psychologically, you'll just give it right back to them. You'll give it right back to the white supremacists. Because psychologically, you're not where you're supposed to be. Because you've allowed other people to define you. You got to define yourself. That's going to differentiate you between dusty niggas, bum niggas, and plantation niggas who don't want to get off that plantation. If you get off the plantation, remember, the plantation, it started in your mind. The plantation starts in your mind. And you got to change your mind before you change your plantation status. And that's our thing. We want to drag a lot of people around who do not have their minds changed. We're so busy trying to convert people who don't really want to be converted. Leave people be. Leave the coon train be. Leave all these buck dancing Negroes be. All these childish Negroes, like the nigga who called up to the show playing every week with the same corny bullshit. Fuck all that each one teach one. Do y'all really want to bring niggas like that around something we trying to build? Or hood rats or dusty niggas? And another thing too, because people do this to me all a lot. They send me links of that guy, Sheriff David Clark. Every day somebody's sending me a link about that guy. He's the latest coon train member that the white supremacists put out there. David Clark, he's that sheriff. I think he's from Milwaukee. Every week, somebody's sending me a link. Will y'all please stop sending me links on David Clark? I don't care what he has to say. Don't let that whole David Clark shit get you riled up. David Clark is a puppet for white supremacy. Every day, somebody's sending me a link or something. Well, David Clark said black people are stupid. No, he didn't. The white supremacists said that, and they just got him to be their front. That's how you look at it. Whenever y'all say, well, David Clark said this about black people. No, he didn't. Fox News said that, and they just had him as the face of it. I ain't gonna sit up and just beat up on that powerless nigga. He ain't got no power. He's another victim of white supremacy. He knows that. We gotta get off, and Neely Fuller talked about that shadow boxing. I'm looking at the white supremacist who's putting him on the air to say that shit. That's who you focus on all the time. Just like with Raven Simone saying all her stupid shit on ABC on The View every single day. They give her a forum every day to say her stupid shit. And people had like a boycott thing for her. They had like a thing where they wanted to get her fired from The View. A change.org petition or something to get her fired. And ABC came out and defended her. They came out like, hey, come on. She's okay. It's freedom of speech. Yeah, they're going to defend her. They make her say all that. It's ABC that's making her say that. Look at the real people that's behind it doing it, man. Raven Simone is powerless. She does what they allow her to do. She does what they allow her to do. And whenever David Clark comes out saying some stupid about black people, just look at the publication that gave him the forum to do it. Because he was a complete nobody. The only reason why anybody knows him is because the white supremacists use him to say a bunch of racist shit about black folks so they can get away with saying, okay, we're not racist. A black guy is saying it. That's the only reason why people know him. He's become the mouthpiece of white supremacy. So I'm looking at the white supremacists who gave him the forum. Always look at who's letting him say that stupid shit. That's who you go after. I see you, Fox News. I see you, Washington Post or whatever newspaper. Oh, yeah, they love it. And then all you have to do is start quoting Tim Wise. Go to melanoidnation.org. We have several articles with people who are classified as white challenging white supremacy. So what you do, part of the code, black people, is go to melanoidnation.org. There's plenty of links that you can use that we have of white people challenging white supremacy. You do the same. Whenever you see white people challenge white supremacy, that's the person you buddy up with. And let him be your mouthpiece. You got to get on code, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, family. I want y'all to go to TariqElite.com right now. We got some t-shirts left. We got some new t-shirts coming probably next week. These shirts are called Crucifixion. You're going to love them. These new shirts are coming next week. And we're going to have some more Melanoid Nation shirts, different styles in stock pretty soon, hopefully in time for Melanoid Empowerment Day, which will be on December 1st. You dig? And don't forget to go to maclessons.com. Don't forget maclessons.com if you still want to chop that game up. There's a lot of books. All my books are on maclessons.com. All my pay-per-view specials are on maclessons.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. I'm out of here, family. I want you guys to holler at me on Ustream this Sunday. Y'all have a good night, family.